Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Peace.
Welcome to Dare to Win, the place where we have sober conversations around our need to build a new global economic cooperative to serve the needs of people of African ancestry to achieve economic self-determination and sovereignty. This evening we'll be discussing how can cooperative economics contribute to self-reliance and global solutions. Stay with us. Once again, welcome, and thank you for being our listening audience this evening. This is Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative regular Thursday night radio broadcast. We're here every Thursday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is where we do have those sobering conversations that will help to lead us to self-determination and sovereignty. I am Sister Nanana, and our subject this evening, how can cooperative economics contribute to self-reliance and global solutions? Stay with us as we have this really interesting subject. Yes, 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 we are the drum. And we are calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Once again, Dare to Win is the place where we have the sobering conversations. So for you to join in and be a part of that conversation, please dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you want to join us via your computer, please go to www.usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus.com, and click the Ulu Radio tab, then click on Listen Live. And you can listen with us and be a part of the program that way. Once again, I'm Sister Nanana. I'm one of the board members with Us Lifting Us, and this evening I'm going to be your host for the discussion. Joining us this evening, we have Brother Madike Moop, who is also a board member with Us Lifting Us this evening. So, Brother Madike, would you care to say some words of welcome to our audience?
Hey, greetings. Welcome to everybody. I'm Brother Madike. I'm board member of Us Lifting Us Economy Cooperative. I hope that everybody's doing well. And tonight we're going to discuss the subject of self-reliance as a global solution and cooperative economics. I am based here in continental Europe, but I am a member of Us Lifting Us Economy Cooperative and a board member since 2017.
And thank you so much, Brother Madike, for being with us. I am just thrilled to have you here with us this evening. And just the fact that we have conquered the time zone in order to have you as our guest this evening. I think that that is a tremendous feat. Brother Madike is speaking to us from London, which is in a very different time zone, and we appreciate you being up in the middle of the night to be here with us this evening to talk about this very, very important subject. So, once again, for those who would like to join us, you can dial in to 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789 to be with us on the call this evening. So, let's go ahead and get right into the subject that we're going to be talking about this evening, and that is, how can cooperative economics contribute to self-reliance and to global solutions? So we're going to be looking at what's happening from a global perspective, and Brother Madike, certainly with you being resident in London, however, you originated from the motherland, you have a global perspective that you can certainly share with us this evening. And I understand that you even have a particular example, a case study that you're going to be sharing with us this evening as well. So I am just going to turn the floor over to you and allow you to start in talking to us about how you see this whole cooperative and group economics practice and how you have seen it practiced. I understand the example you're going to be sharing with us is from a Senegalese village, from people who from that village migrated to Europe. So I won't say much more about that. I'll just let you go ahead and get started with that dialogue. And thank you for being with us.
All right, Sister Nanana, thank you very much. And thank you to our audience for giving us their time tonight and be present. And before I start introducing to you the example that Sister Nanana was talking about, I just want to, you know, remind our guests that UNU is a global organization internationally directed to people from African descent. Hence, my participation in that co-op group economics structure. It is right now 2 a.m. in London. And I guess it's 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that shows you the dynamic and the size of UMU and the goal of UMU, which is to bring together people from international African descent to practice group economics. Now, speaking about the example that we're going to introduce to our guest tonight, this example is a group economic co-op, kind of a co-op set up 40 years ago by Senegalese people from Senegalese descent, and that migrated to France, particularly in Europe. Just let me give you a bit of background. For the special year 2016, there were about 300,000 Senegalese immigrants in France for the year. These are the data from 2016. From those 300,000 Senegalese immigrants in France, we had about 500 million euros, which is about 700,000 US dollar, half a billion, sent back home in 2016. So this is the general overview of the Senegalese remittances sent back home to their country. And the case study that I'm bringing to you tonight is the case of the village of Yurusugi. Again, the name is Yurusugi. Yurusugi is a village about 70 kilometers from Dakar, which is the capital. And that particular village was turned into a city by only group, you know, people being born in that village and later migrated to France, organizing themselves in a co-op and sending up, you know, setting up hospitals, setting up high schools and other businesses back in their village. That particular structure has 40 years of existence, and the contribution is as little as €5 a month, which is about $7 a month that each member has to bring up in order to, you know, make the Yurusugi village co-op happening. And this is really a powerful example of group economics. They are meeting once a month, and they were able to set up pretty much everything without the help of the government. This example was showed in the national TV in France, and there are a couple of other examples across Mali and Senegal. So this is, I think, something we should, as Black people, inspire ourselves with, Sister Nanana.
So it sounds to me that the example that you're sharing with us is one that we might be able to take some lessons from. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think the lesson, the key lesson here we have to take on as ULU member is the small contribution they are giving to each other, which is €5 a month, and the achievement, right? So you have little contribution and big achievement. The achievement that they were able to set up so far were high school, a hospital, and mainly the first business they were able to set up, I'd say, is farming and creating jobs for the small farmers, the peasants there, and the little youth. The little youth, because some of those youth are actually having incentives not to immigrate and not to take, you know, high risk into, you know, crossing the Mediterranean Sea or going abroad for better opportunities, because opportunities are right there in their village, created by that small co-op of people from, you know, the descendant from that village and Mike later who have migrated to France for helping, mm-hmm. you know, helping out their home country.
So it sounds to me that this group of Senegalese people who left their home and migrated to Europe, that they maintained a very strong sense of connectedness with their homeland and with their village. And certainly that must have been a big part of what was driving them to make that monthly contribution that they sent back home to create, literally to transform their village into a thriving city. And so with a high school, a hospital, they started a process for water irrigation. And I heard you say something about farming as well. Is that correct?
That's correct, Sister Nanana. They are pretty much in all areas of businesses, you know, food, water, shelter, all the basic things that the population of that particular village needs is provided by that co-op. And you said something about connection. I think that is the really, really, really key word here, because they maintain that connection back with their Yurusugi village. They were able to link up themselves around something very important to them, which was the, you know, having their village becoming prosperous and self-reliant and self-sufficient and self-sustaining without depending on any government or any aid coming from outside but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular group of people did face some challenges. Challenges are everywhere, and I think we ourselves tend to have those challenges, which is related to the follow-up. By that, I mean what you have mainly in that group of Yurusugi village inhabitants. You have people that are elders, and those elders were the ones who set up that particular co-op and then followed up with helping and sending the remittances back home. However, with regard to the second generation of immigrants from Senegalese descent, you don't tend to have that. We don't tend to follow up what our elders did. And this is a big challenge. So I think there's a piece of education that might be missing there in order to continue the, the journey into self-determination.
Wow, this is so impressive. And I am sensing and hearing from you quite a bit that I feel is very, very similar to the structure that Ulu has for its family cooperative economics plan. You talked about the creation of jobs as well as the maintaining of the connection with the elders. As a matter of fact, it sounds to me like the elders had a very powerful role in guiding this whole process and very possibly in ensuring that the values were maintained. And the young people provided the energy, but the elders provided the guidance to make sure that everything stayed on track is what it sounded like to me. And so that leads me to another question, Brother Madike, and that is, let's talk a little bit more about values. What are the values of Ulu, and how do you see these values matching the values of this Senegalese cooperative that you're referring to? So kind of walk us through that, what you see as the similar values between Us Lifting Us and this Senegalese cooperative process that has been so successful.
So in terms of values, I refer our audience to our 10 points of appeal and plan, which are really similar to that co-op in Senegal, which are the values of democracy, one member, one vote, which are regular meetings, the principle of solidarity between members and group economics. And there is also one goal, not only values, we also share a kind of goal, which is the prosperity of our village. Ulu is a kind of village to us. We want to see us lifting us through economic cooperative, go far and prosper throughout years and decades and century. And one of our first goal was the Ulu Mart. I don't know if you remember, Sister Nanana, but
yes,
the Ulu Mart.
Yes.
As a market and exchange center, but not only market and exchange center, but also a living center, a place where you would feel the energy, the African energy, the traditional values of co-op, was our goal and still is. So I think that there are a lot of similarities, and also the fact that there are people from Black African descent themselves. We share a lot with we could inspire ourselves with this group, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, you mentioned the 10-point appeal and plan as being an illustration of, or in many ways capturing and capsulizing the values that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is all about. So, you know, what I'm really drawn to on the 10-point appeal and plan is the very first item at the top of the list, and that is, as Black people, we take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our communities and nations. And so what that says to me is that we are totally self-reliant, that we practice taking care of ourselves and taking care of our communities totally ourselves. And that's a powerful piece in and of itself, is to step up and to take total responsibility, full responsibility for caring for yourself and for those in your community. So I see that definitely as being a major piece that that is similar to what you're talking about in the value system of this particular Senegalese co-op. So I just want to once again indicate that for those who would like to take part in this discussion, if you have a question, if you have a comment, you can call into 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your keypad, the number 1 on your dial. And that will let us know that you have a question or a comment, and we'll certainly open the mic so that you can make that question or that comment. So right now we're going to take a short music break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes, so please stick with us as we learn more from Brother Madike about the very successful Senegalese cooperative that he's telling us about, and the similarities between that and what Ulu is doing. So stick and stay with us. We will be back in just about 2 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, we're back with you and you're back with us. This is Dare to Win, the place where we have sober conversations around our need to build a global economic cooperative to serve the needs of people of African ancestry to achieve economic self-determination and sovereignty. And this evening, our guest is Brother Madike, who is calling in and sharing with us from London, England. He is a member of the ULU Executive Board, and our discussion this evening is around how can cooperative economics contribute to self-reliance and global solutions. Brother Madike, you have been sharing with us about a Senegalese co-op that you are aware of, where these individuals, Senegalese people who migrated from Senegal to London, sent money back home and did that over a period of time in order to increase the economic stability of their village, and did it to the extent that their village is now actually a town. I mean, it's just a great, phenomenal story that you're sharing with us, and there are so many similarities in the structure of this Senegalese co-op and with Us Lifting Us. And Brother Madike, I'm going to ask you if you would once again give us the name of that group. I have the spelling, URUSUGUI. But would you help us out with the name of that again before we go any further?
All right, so that's URUSUGUI Village, URUSUGUI Village in Senegal. In Senegal, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
There was something I wanted to tell our audience, Sister Nanana, if you allow me to.
Sure.
Our history is about African people. Our history as African people is about co-op. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of years of self-sustaining communities. And this was done only through cooperative economics. We should not allow the parentheses of slavery and colonization prevent us from believing that we can succeed again and going back to what we truly are. We can succeed, but we should regain our trust into working with each other, practicing group economics with each other, building, self-relying facilities, hospitals, high schools, banks, credit unions, whatever the case might be, to self-sustain ourselves, because nobody else would do it for us. This is what we've been doing throughout centuries, again, and thousands and thousands of years.
And thank you so much for mentioning that. I hear you saying that cooperative economics is really our history. That is our culture. That's who we are. And we've been taken away from that due to colonization and due to slavery. And so we're working our way back to being our true selves. And I see that we have a caller, Brother Madike, and I believe that if I recognize the number, this is Brother Kimbizi calling in with a question or a comment. All right, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, Sister Nanana and Brother Madike. Indeed, yes, this is Brother Kimbizi calling from Atlanta. It's good to hear your voices, and what a great conversation.
Greetings, Kimbizi. Well, thank you, and it's good to hear yours as well.
Yes, ma'am. I had two questions, Brother Madike. one, I'm always struck by how intentional and how everything that our people do in the present and certainly did in the past had meaning to it. So one, what is the meaning of Yorosugi? Do we know the origin of that word? What language is it? And does it have a meaning? And then the second question is, this, as these people who migrated from Yorosugi to France and then started sending money back, what would you say was their motive as they developed the high school and the hospital? It doesn't sound like they did this to make money, but to meet a need. So kind of flesh that out for us a little bit if you can.
Wow, thank you very much, Brother Kimbizi. These are powerful questions. And I'll try to answer it in the best of my ability. The first one, I need to research the name of Yorosugu. Everything has a name, everything has a meaning in the African tradition. And I apologize for not having done so beforehand. I'll definitely research the meaning of Yorosugu and get back to the audience with an answer, hopefully. And the second question, you're talking about for-profit or not-for-profit. So that structure, that co-op, has a particularity, which is it is, you know, the first motive is not profit. And that is what is really amazing to me, too, because the first motive when they arrived in France back in the 70s, was not to make money or to profit or to exploit anybody. The first motive was, oh, we have a village back home. That village, I want us to have, we need to have a hospital there. We need to have good education, high schools. We need to have irrigation system in place. So they were more infrastructures and development driven than only money, capitalistically, you know, driven.
Thank you, Brother Madiki.
Okay. Yes, thank you so much for that explanation. And what I hear you saying is that the very first motivation and the one that has been most long-lasting and most successful was not profit. Their motivation was to have those things that were most needed and most necessary to sustain their lives. And obviously that was a great contribution for them. So the first motive is not profit. When you practice cooperative economics, unlike it is in capitalism. All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Brother Kimbizi. And I am going to, I see we have another caller that's calling in with either a question or a comment. So let's see, caller 3440, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Greetings, Brother Madike and Sister Nanana. This is Brother Shabaka calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Very fascinating.
Hey.
Very fascinating.
Greetings, Brother Shabaka.
Greetings. I wanted to ask you to maybe give us a sense of some areas of Senegal, particularly where the village is located, because you mentioned irrigation, you mentioned the hospital. Could you describe for us, to educate us, because sometimes some of our brothers and sisters here, you know, heavily indoctrinated by the Tarzan movie, you know, have a particular picture of the African continent sometime. Don't know that, you know, you can fit the United States in Africa about three times because of its large, huge mass. But I am, you know, particularly interested in why the village chose to look at those projects, if you have some information on that, and how in setting up the cooperative and in a non-profit motive venture, all right, to develop and produce what you had described. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Shibaka, and I really appreciate that question. I think that helps us to put back the, you know, the real picture of Africa, not the one driven by the modern mainstream media. And by the way, we should build a powerful media platform and the media, you know, campaign to regain our image. So I'll answer your question by going back centuries. That village is situated in North Senegal. So that used to be a vibrant city back in the Mali Empire. So I could answer your question, you know, just basically by telling you that what they wanted, what they had in mind, these people, is to build what we used to have in the Mali Empire, and that was destroyed by both the transatlantic slave trade and colonization. Every village, every town was nearly burned to the ground, and we have to build that back again. So that's not at all the Tarzan image or the mainstream, you know, backward image. These were vibrant towns, very advanced, very self-sustaining. The water irrigation system, the hospitals were there, the high schools were there. We just happened to have that, you know, very hard time of colonization and slavery that went there and burned everything. So this is the image, this is the real image of that we used to have in Africa, and this is the real economic model that we used to have, group economics and helping each other, and we were successful in doing so.
All right. Thank you so much. It's, this is so, it's so invigorating. That's the word that's coming to me, to be able to have a real live example of the working of the cooperative economic model that is so very, very similar to what ULU is doing, and to have it being demonstrated and having been accomplished by people of Black African descent. And so it's just wonderful. Yes.
Sister Nana,
for sure.
If I may interrupt, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to expand the comment of what I just said to other regions of Africa. This is not the only village practicing group economics and sending back home remittances in order to build infrastructures. You have the same example in Nigeria through Isuzu. You have a couple of other, you know, co-ops, kind of, you know, group economics in Ghana, and across the Mali Empire, as I mentioned. I'm only mentioning my part, which is at West Africa, but I'm sure you have the same example in East Africa and in the southern region of Africa, too.
Thank you so much for bringing that clarity, and that helps us to understand even more how strongly this whole structure and concept of cooperative economics, how strongly embedded this is into our culture, and you know, your culture is part of your DNA, and so for us as people of Black African descent, we have to, I think, at some level, acknowledge that this is what we really need to be doing is cooperative economics. So let's go ahead and move forward with continuing our discussion around this. And before we go too much further into the any more information about this Senegalese co-op, I just want to digress for a moment just to remind the listening audience that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is having its 7th annual members meeting and convention. That's being held March 13th, 14th, and 15th in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be held at the Franklin Auditorium of the Interdenominational Theological Center. That's 700 Martin Luther King Drive. And so we are just really pleased and excited to move forward with this 7th annual meeting. As a matter of fact, the theme is Forward Together. Forward Together is the theme. And on the 13th, the very first event is open to the public. That is our social meet and greet starting at 6 p.m. in the evening there on that campus at the Interdenominational Theological Center. You can find further details on the website www.usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus.com. So looking forward to seeing all of the Ulu family present and being accounted for at the meeting, the annual members meeting. So just moving forward a little bit more, Brother Madike, you know, we often use the term group-owned, and we talk about family-centered. Can you give us your thoughts, please, on what is group-owned and what do we mean by family-centered? And so how do these two concepts help us, or do they help us as African-descended people to build power and to build dignity? Can you give us some insight into that, group-owned and family-centered?
Yeah, and thank you for your question, Sister Nanana. I think by group-owned, we mean something that, you know, belongs to us. We need to have a space. We need to have something that we own ourselves. We are now scattered into many areas, many locations that, you know, we don't own the buildings, we don't own the land, we don't own the property of anything. And I think that with Us Lifting Us in our goal in having, for example, that Ulu Mart, we can achieve that. We can give our people the opportunity to take back their lands, to take back their space, their environment, and to own something. And more than that, we can own by putting the family at the center of what we own. And that's what we mean by family-centered. We want to belong to something. We want to get back to our African tradition and values. And we want to own. Baba Hakima was saying, we want to be owned. Sorry, I'm mistaken. We want to own something that we own. And that is the only solution. Otherwise, we're going to continue to be owned.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, I totally identify with what you're saying, that until we get to the point that we have real wealth demonstrated in ownership of land and property, that we continually leave ourselves open to be owned, rather than to be in the empowering position of ownership. And certainly that is a major piece that ULU is emphasizing as we once again revitalize our focus and our energy around the ULU Mart, and we start to reshape that by looking at it from a perspective of being a space that we can live, work, and play. And so that gives a whole new breath to the concept around the ULU Mart. We're going to take another real short music break here, be back with you in a couple of minutes, and we're heading towards winding down on our subject this evening. So stick and stay with us for a few more minutes. Thank you.
Our next song was written by a gentleman from Chicago, plays wonderful piano, and is a writer of very pretty songs. His name is Herbie Hancock, and he calls it Cantaloupe Island.
We're back with you once again. This is still Dare to Win, the place where we have sobering conversations around our need to build a global economic cooperative to serve the needs of people of African ancestry to achieve economic self-determination and sovereignty. Thank you so much for being with us and being part of our listening up audience this evening, as we have been hearing from Brother Madike on how can cooperative economics contribute to self-reliance and global solutions. And he's given us a great example of a global solution that's being demonstrated by a group of Senegalese people who migrated from Africa to Europe and continue to support their community at home by using a cooperative economic model. And that model is very, very similar to the one that we have with Us Lifting Us. So, Brother Madike, tell us, as far as Us Lifting Us is concerned, how does a person become a member of Us Lifting Us? What do you have to do to become a member of Us Lifting Us?
All right. Thank you for the question, Sister Nanana. I think that is a very important question in terms of having brothers and sisters joining us because we need your energy. We need your support. So go to the website, usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus.com, and you just need to pay a $50 membership to join Us Lifting Us and become a member. However, we do encourage you to continue and achieve the membership process by acquiring a unit, which is $1,000, and you would have a unit from the co-op. So again, the website is www.usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus.com.
Brother Madike?
Yes, it's the Nanana.
Yeah, your voice cut out there for just a moment. Something happened with the transmission.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Sometimes those things happen.
Oh, pardon me. Can you hear me now clearly?
Yes, yes.
I was just referring the audience to our webpage, which is www.usliftingus.com. And then you can click on membership and bring your $50 contribution.
Okay, you're back with us again. Yeah, sometimes the networks don't always cooperate and work the way that we want them to work. But what I heard you say is that people can go to the website, www.usliftingus.com, and click on the tab that says join and fill out the form. And you will hear back from one of the members from the board to assist you and make sure that you are properly inducted into Us Lifting Us, and the membership is $50. And also, Brother Madike, I heard you mention the purchase of what we call a unit, which is actually purchasing a share in the co-op, which is something that we do encourage our members to do, and certainly it's their choice to do that. And there's a couple of ways that can be done. First of all, they can partake of the subscription program, and the instructions for that are on the website as well, which means when you're purchasing that unit, that $1,000 unit, you can do it in small increments of $20, $25, $35 or more until you have accumulated $1,000 and thereby becoming the owner of a unit or stock in Us Lifting Us. And what that is about is it's the same thing that the Senegalese people were doing when they were sending their money back home to their village in order to build the school, in order to start the irrigation processes that needed to start, and in order to build the hospital and other things that were needed. And so they were actually demonstrating group ownership and purchasing stock, making an investment in their community. And what we see is that it has actually grown into a thriving city or a thriving town. So you have that same opportunity with Us Lifting Us as well. So we invite you to join and to be a part of that. So this evening we have had an opportunity to learn about and to see through the sharing of Brother Madike, an actual working model of cooperative economics. Jobs were created in this particular situation that we talked about this evening. a school was built, a hospital was built. And so I think for me, the most impressive thing was understanding that the motivation, the value system that drove this whole process for the Senegalese people who left their home and migrated to Europe but sent money back, that the whole motivation was not profit, but was around the benefit that they wanted to achieve for their village and for their families. And so for us at Us Lifting Us, it's very similar as well, as we pointed out in looking at the 10-point appeal and plan, which Brother Madike mentioned. And that first item on the 10-point appeal and plan is that we as Black people take full responsibility, total responsibility, for the economic destiny of our communities and nations. And in doing so, that in and of itself is empowering. So we're moving forward to continue to achieve that goal. Do you have any closing remarks for us, Brother Madike?
Yeah, I think the closing remarks are just facts and figures of that same village, the Yurusugi village. So that society, association, co-op, no matter how we want to call it, have 100 members and still have to this day 100 members, 40 years of existence, and they function through a contribution of €5 a month. And they were able, as you mentioned, Sister Nanana, to achieve the building of a high school, hospital, water irrigation, farming. So we can do it. We will do it. Us Lifting Us, join us. We're going to build the new economy and get back to our African traditional functioning system.
Exactly, exactly. And I maybe very quickly we can take one more question. I see we have another caller with a question or a comment. 7178. Would you tell us your name and where you're calling from? Ah, okay. I guess that caller did not have a question or a comment. And so at this time, we're going to bring our Dare to Win program this evening to a close. Thank you so much for listening and being with us this evening. And we look forward to seeing you again next Thursday on Dare to Win. Thank you for being with us. And thank you, Brother Madike.
Thank you, Sister Nanana. All right.
Good night.
All right.